Cool Time with Connor Phillips. With the Heating and Bathroom Centre. From boiler to complete bathroom installation, they do it all.
It has been a little over 3 weeks since ex-Crewe defender Andy Woodburn waived his right to anonymity to say he is a victim of sexual abuse as a young footballer. Now, it has come out more and more through different footballers, different ex-footballers, those who are named, those who aren't named, that potentially this could be a scandal, if you like, of epic proportions. And I am delighted to welcome onto the show a man who has been not only dealing with a lot of questions over the last couple of weeks, but has been speaking to players, professionals, those in the game. The PFA chief, Gordon Taylor, joins me on Radio City Talk. First of all, Gordon, thank you for coming on, because I know it's a harrowing and difficult time for you at the moment.
Thank you, Connor. It is that time, but it's got to be dealt with. And since Andy Woodward, who'd used our helpline, he'd been counselled for the last 2 years and then felt in a position to come out and hope to gather momentum and encourage other players of that era to come out. That has been exactly what has happened, and we've found that there's a real coming together, and that for these players who wish to come out, they feel it's helped them be in a better place. We have the helpline we have is, I could also tell you, of course, so if there are any more players out there, 07500 and 000777, but that is manned by some 30 to 40 trained counsellors and psychologists and different levels according to particular problems. And the strategy we've adopted is that ideally the police should be informed in the first place, because these are serious criminal acts, and also then the individual to be put in a better place and to be given all the support and advice that they need. And this is something the game has to address. There have been, you know, we're dealing with the past, but we've got to make sure that the past teaches us how to go along in the present and the future. And this football is our major, not just spectator sport, but participant sport. And we have a next generation, and we need to know that parents, as clubs, are attracting youngsters from the age of 6, 7 and 8, that parents have their part to play. But when they pass that baton on to clubs, that clubs handle that very carefully, because we're talking about the next generation of footballers, and that applies to all sports. And we've seen how difficult it has been to address these issues in other areas, such as the church and education, and the problems in the House of Commons with their inquiry and with the police. But it is something that it's a society problem that football can hopefully now address and try to show the right way.
That was going to be my next question. When you look at the other areas of society that have been affected, it was difficult to think that football was ever going to be immune from this. When you look at, as we said, the church, and we look at the entertainment world, the Jimmy Savile situation, it was never going to be immune to it. And I know hindsight is a wonderful thing, but looking at it now, do you think there was more that players, clubs, organisations like your own, the FA, could have done to give the players who are coming out now and having to waive their anonymity to get any sort of publicity out there? Is there more that could have been done?
Well, quite clearly there is. We are the players' union, and at that time we had an education department that we worked with the Football League, as it was then, before the Premier League began. And even, you know, looking to speak to them, our education department said, do it as a group, do it as individuals, get the confidence, make sure that they're being treated right, you know, and to parents to guide them with any changes in personality, etc. But I think, as we've seen, there was a fear of, there was a threats made to them, a fear that if they did come out, it would affect their careers, a fear that they would let the parents down, or the parents would feel that they would be responsible. And from that point of view, I can only say that this is part of a momentum that you've also referred to in other areas, and it would be naive to think that sport, particularly involving young children, could be immune. And we've just now got to grasp the nettle and make sure the barriers are so high, you know, that they can't be breached.
Well, FA Chairman Greg Clark has said it's the biggest crisis he can remember in the organisation. Yourself, I think I'm quoting your words here, to say that the very future of football is threatened at the moment and could be threatened at the moment. What type of numbers are we talking about here, those who you suspect could come out? And I'm not asking you for confidential figures here because I know it's a very difficult time, but could
well,
we...
Well, we talked with the police last week with regard to our strategy that is in place and about informing the police first and therapy second and thirdly with further advice. What began in the Northwest and focused on Crewe and Barry Bennell, I then said at the time it would be unlikely that it would just be restricted to this area. And of course now, out of 48, I think, police forces, there is well over 20 that are now dealing with these issues and following, funneling them through Operation Hydrant. And similarly from the football world, they're also being... there's a synergy now, an interaction that we need to make sure that these are brought out where the people wish to go public or even where they wish to retain their anonymity.
Now, I'm just reading some of the comments that you had mentioned. I think it's the Telegraph mentioned about The Guardian that somebody like the aforementioned, I suppose, he really is a victim when I'm talking about Andy Woodward here, that he potentially should step away from his media activities to stop himself being damaged by the stress. But, you know, I think the reason he waived his anonymity was to say, listen, yes, I am probably going to get stressed by this. Yes, we have seen him on television in tears and radio in tears and stuff as well. But he waived his anonymity for that very reason. And for you to encourage him maybe to step away, some people will look at that as maybe football saying that, oh, we should back off a little bit on this.
No, please don't misunderstand. This can happen. He came on to me very distressed after this had broken and he'd been working non-stop because I think unless you're involved in, well, for myself, when there is something like this, it is very heavy because I don't think these lads realise the number of radio stations, the number of newspapers, the number of television stations, and when they're all on at one time and you're being asked to do countless interviews, it can be very, very draining and is a tough experience. And now my advice just was at the time to be able for him to draw breath, have a break and just freshen up, because to do it continually can really drag you down.
Yeah. I'm looking at what many different journalists and reporters have said here about the thing, and I think sometimes it's unfair to go over the ground over and over and over again, but just one thing from your own point of view, saying that there's a vast wealth within football, right? And that vast wealth could be helped to safeguard the very future of the sport. And remember, the sport's future is the youngsters who are there and have been or indeed continue to be vulnerable. How can the millions in football be used to safeguard that? Because I think we have to start trying to eke out some proactive and, dare I say, some positive things from this.
Definitely. And I made the point that the game has never enjoyed so much income. And in spite of the commercialization of the game, it is still a sport. It is still recreational. It is still good for youngsters to be part of a team. But everybody knows the benefits of sport. Now, this is a dark side of sport that has now suddenly come to the surface. And until this is addressed in the most serious way possible, and that the game and its resources really has no excuse for not using its utmost to use those resources to make sure that all our safeguarding networks, advice, checks, regulations and monitoring is in place, and try to do all we can to help other sports that may not be as well off as football.
But then we did have a case last week where somebody came out to say they were given £50,000 to sweep it under the carpet. That is showing that the football world is absolutely rife with money, and money can be used to do the complete opposite of what you would like it to do. How do you stop that?
That is very difficult with human nature being as it is, but also And also, clubs, of course, will be worried about damaged reputation, even though these were events that took place a long time ago. Because there is such a demand for the best young talent, no club would want to be associated with such issues. But my point is, you know, virtually every club has the potential to be associated with what has happened, and if not, to feel fortunate and make sure they never are in the future. So it doesn't just need the FA looking at this. It needs the Premier League, the Football League, the League Managers Association and the PFA all buying into this, all working together, all singing to the same hymn sheet and having a responsibility to make sure that the game is as safe an environment as possible and to learn otherwise from the past. Otherwise, the courage and conviction shown by these former young players coming out now will be wasted.
As we broadcast across Merseyside at the moment, the people of this part of the world are fully aware of learning from the mistakes of the past, and There has been inquiries and another inquiry off the back of it, and it took quite some time for the people of this part of the world to get justice. But is there the need for this kind of inquiry sweeping across all clubs, using all the finances you have and do a full-scale inquiry, or do you take it case by case in every phone call you get to the line you've set up?
No, I think there's a need to collate it in the same way that the police are collating all these complaints and these players coming forward. There's a need to collate it, and I've spoken to the Secretary of State for Culture, Media and Sport, and you know, we can't ignore Parliament as the law-making body of the land to be involved in this, and that's exactly how we had to deal with the health and safety issues of the 80s and the problems with behaviour as well. That was a really tough decade, which people in Liverpool, of course, you know, know all about. And as a result of that and Lord Justice Taylor, it took time. But in the end, it's taken a lot of time to get justice. And maybe that's what it will take for these, as they were, youngsters. But I hope not. And I hope that now the society is a lot more aware and prepared and in a better place to deal with it. Otherwise, we're not progressing. I think one of the great statesmen of the world said the keenest revelation of a society's soul is how it treats its children, and that's exactly what we've got to do in football.
We want to reach out to those who are listening this evening who think they may be affected in any way, shape or form, to get in touch, to get their voice heard. They don't have to waive their anonymity like Andy Woodward did. They don't have to appear on radio shows and TV shows. They can call one of the, what did you say, over 40 people who are currently manning a telephone number at the moment, and you can go to your local police station.
How
would you
PFA
encourage people to do this? We want to make sure that everyone who has and could be affected by this has the right areas they can reach out to.
Thank you very much indeed. There's an FA and NSPCC helpline, but the PFA helpline is 07500 007.
We'll put that up on the Radio City Talk Twitter page at Radio City Talk. We'll get it up there very shortly. We'll put all the links up there as well. There's an NSPCC site as well. Listen, it's been brilliant. It's been eye-opening talking to you, Gordon Taylor, the PFA Chief Executive. Can I wish you well with this investigation? Can I wish you well with whatever is in front of you? I get the feeling it could be quite a long, drawn-out process. And as we said, they can be one of the most difficult, arduous things to do in football. And thank you for your time on Radio City Talk this afternoon.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Full Time with Conor Phillips. With the Heating and Bathroom Centre. From boiler to complete bathroom installation, they do it all.